Subway.
Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to The Voice of America in Washington. This is Diaspora Forum. I'm Jonga Kandemiri. Tonight, we are talking about the swearing-in of America's new president, Joseph Biden, and Vice President Kamala Harris.
The swearing-in has just been done at the Capitol Hill amid tight security following violent protests 2 weeks ago by outgoing President Donald Trump's supporters who wanted to block the certification of electoral votes by the Senate and the House of Representatives.
Biden took the oath of office at noon, which was administered by Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts.
Biden's wife, Kamala Harris's oath, was administered by Justice Sonia Sotomayor. She is the first female and black vice president.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., do solemnly swear.
I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., do solemnly swear.
That I will faithfully execute.
That I will faithfully execute.
The office of President of the United States.
Office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend.
Preserve, protect, and defend
the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. Thank President.
That was actually the voice of President Biden when he took the oath of office at noon. Now we go to Vice President Kamala Harris.
I, Kamala Davy Harris, do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely. Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
That I will well and faithfully discharge.
That I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
The duties of the office upon which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
That was the voice of Vice President Kamala Harris when she took oath that was administered by Justice Sonia Sotomayor. The swearing-in was done a few hours after Trump bade Americans farewell. Trump did not attend Biden's inauguration as he has over the past few weeks claimed without evidence that the 2020 presidential election was rigged by Biden and the Democratic Party. Despite his denial, Trump, as per tradition, moved out of the White House this morning.
This inauguration was pared down due to the COVID-19 pandemic and fears of violence at the National Mall. Over 400,000 flags at the National Mall represented people who have so far died of COVID-19 in USA. In 2009, an estimated 1.8 million people attended President Barack Obama's inauguration. This was the largest inaugural audience ever. In 2017, Trump claimed without proof that his inauguration was the most well-attended event in living memory.
The smooth handing over of power from one president to another is the cornerstone of America's democracy. A president is not compelled to attend the inauguration of America's next commander-in-chief. The outgoing president is also not compelled by the Constitution to concede to defeat, but traditionally, this has become the benchmark of the country's democracy.
Ngiyabonga mahlabezulu linjani lapho likhona endaweni zonke zomhlaba ezigeneyo lamhla ke bekugcotshwa umongameli omutsha wakale Melika umongameli Joseph Biden kunangale ke eCapital. Siyabona ukuthi bekulabantu abalutshwane kakhulu ngenxa yokuthi kwesatshwa umkhuhlane we-COVID-19 njalo kwesatshwa ukuthi kulabanye abantu kade befisa ukuthi bahlasele kunangale abalandeli bakaDonald Trump. So nxa sikhangela ke eCapital Hill kugcwele amasotsha ucele lamapolisa ensita labanye abazama ukuthi bevimbe abantu laba akade behlasela. So siyabona-ke ukuthi uBiden uthethe isifungo sakhe esiphiwa-ke ngu-Justice John Roberts kuzokuthi esika unkosikazi Kamala Harris senziwe ngu-Justice Sonia Sotomayor. So nxa sikhangela-ke unkosikazi Harris ngokuhlala wesifazana njalo omsundu ukuthi angene esikhundleni sika-Vice President. Kuzobuya-ke umongameli Donald Trump usuke okade ngumongameli uDonald Trump usuke wazihambela wadlula khona ngale Andrews Airbus wabonga abantu kakhulu wasesithi kodwa uyabe lokhu elunguzile ekhangela ukuthi kwenzakalani kwele United States. So sikhangele-ke khonokho-ke okwenzakalayo singathi kula maflag ayi-400,000 jonga khona ngale-ke e-National Mall aveza ukuthi abantu bolabo kade kumele baye khona ngale kodwa sebabulawa i-COVID-19 kunjalo-ke mfowethu.
Ongu Gibson, nasi tiri kutarisa kugadzwa nekutoreswa mhiko kwaitwa mutungamiri weAmerica mutsva vaJoe Biden vanove mutungamiri wechimakumi mana nenhanhatu kana kuti 46th president pamwe chete nemutevedzeri wavo amai Kamala Harris vanove munhukadzi wekutanga kutora chigaro ichocho chekuve mutevedzeri wemutungamiri wenyika pamusoro pezvo vari munhu wechitema wekutanga awana chigaro ichocho. VaBiden vatoreswa mhiko nemukuru wematare mutongi mukuru wematare nenguva dza12 masikati vaJohn Roberts ndova vatoresa mhiko. Mushure mekunge amai Kamala Harris vatoreswawo mhiko nemumwe mutongi wematare repamusoro vanove amai Sonia Sotomayor ndova vatoresa mhiko. Chiitiko chanhasi chasiyana nechiitiko kana nezviitiko zvinoitika makore ose ekuti vanhu vanodarika kana miriyoni kana kuda kusvika kumamiriyoni maviri vanoungana vachitarisa vachiona pamwe nekuwitinesa zvinenge zvichiitika pakugadzwa kwemutungamiri wenyika muWashington DC. Nhasi nekuda kwechirwere cheCOVID-19 kwanga kusina vanhu vanga varimo vakawanda vanga varipo vachiona chiitiko ichi. Nyaya yataa kunge tichimbokupa iye zvino ndeyekuti munzwe vasiya chigaro vaTrump nekuti nhasi mangwanani vatakura zvinhu zvavo kana kuti vatuta twavo vachibuda mumuzinda weWhite House vachioneka vachienda regai tinzwe vachitaura vaTrump.
Thank you very much, and we love you, and I can tell you that from the bottom of my heart. This has been an incredible 4 years. We've accomplished so much together. I want to thank all of my family and my friends and my staff and so many other people for being here. I want to thank you for your effort, your hard work. People have no idea how hard this family worked. They worked, and they worked for you. They could have had a much easier life, but they did a fantastic job. I just want to thank all of you, everyone. I want to thank Mark Meadows, who's here someplace right there. I want to thank Mark. But it's been something very special. We've accomplished a lot. Our First Lady has been a woman of great grace and beauty and dignity. And so popular with the people, so popular with the people. In fact, honey, would you like to say a few words? Please.
Being your First Lady was my greatest honor. Thank you for your love and your support. You will be in my thoughts and prayers. God bless you all. God bless your families.
That was former President Donald Trump bidding Americans farewell. You also heard from the former First Lady, Ms. Trump, bidding farewell to Americans. And now on the phone, we have the first guest we have on our show, Ms. Pearl Matibi, a political analyst. Ms. Matibi, welcome to our show.
Good afternoon here from Washington, D.C.,
thank you so much. You are just outside our offices in Washington, D.C. Maybe you can start by telling us how the process went on today.
Yes. So this morning it started off with former President Trump and Melania Trump leaving the White House. That was very early this morning. He had wanted arranged. He had, in fact, Marine One. Marine One is the helicopter which he uses taking off from the White House. He left off with a song which was being sung, which is called Don't Stop Believing. And then he arrived at Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, Florida at around 11:30 this morning with still about 29 minutes or so left in his presidency. He was already in Florida. There were no crowds and no people really meeting him at the airport in Florida when he arrived this morning. But yes, there were some people who had, you know, who had still had some Trump Pence 2020 flags. Some were saying, we love you 45, support our police. But there were other people there, some dissenters, who also were, you know, carrying, signs, protester signs that says, you're fired and so on. So he did arrive. He arrived in Florida with 29 minutes left remaining in his presidency. He was already at Mar-a-Lago.
Mm-hmm. You know, many people would want to understand the logic behind former President Trump leaving before the swearing-in of President Biden, and whether this is as per American norm.
So it's just a matter of tradition that, you know, there's always been the president, the incumbent who has gone and attended the inauguration, but there's nothing in law, right? There's nothing that forces him, either by law or through the Constitution or anything of that nature that says that he must attend. So it is, you know, if he didn't feel he wanted to go, so it is within his right not to go. What I can tell you about that is that he's not the first one. So in the history of the United States, it has been twice. So he is the second person only ever in the entire history not to have attended an inauguration.
Mm. Gibbs, I think my colleague Gibbs is on the line. He may have a question or two. Gibbs?
Yes, sir. I just get it with a... is this a smooth transfer of power, or it seems as if Mr. Trump did not do that, you know, as per tradition?
I understand that many people across the world will be wondering about that now, given the fact that we've had these, you know, very tumultuous events in the last 2 weeks. So what I can say to you is that what we saw happening today with the inauguration, and today was the 59th inauguration in the United States history, this was really a sign of continuity of government, a respect for the process. We watched the fact, as President Biden said in his inaugural speech today, that democracy has prevailed. So all these rituals that happened today with the inauguration are very, very important. We have had in the history of the United States a total of 9 inaugurations that have taken place at the west front of the Capitol. So the side of the building where the proceedings were happening today, that is the west front. That is the same place where the siege happened 2 weeks ago on the Capitol. So inaugurations haven't always taken place from that side of the building, but 9 of them have had. So what I would just say is that this really was just a sign, both domestically to Americans and to the world, to show that this was, in fact, a peaceful continuity of government, a respect for the process, you know, despite the fact that you usually we would be seeing a lot more pomp and circumstance.
Hmm. There are some, Ms. Matibe, who are saying that, you know, the presence of the National Guard is a symbol that all is not well in America. Do you agree with that?
Sorry, what is the question? That what?
You know, the presence of the National Guard. Many people are saying that's an indication that all is not well in USA.
No, actually, so let me just explain the presence of the National Guard. Let's not forget that what happened 2 weeks ago did show that, you know, there was a present threat, and remember that President Trump was still president until 1 hour ago. okay? And so present at the inauguration was former Vice President Dan Quayle, former President Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, Barack Obama, all the Supreme Justices. So in Washington, D.C. itself, we had a total of 25,000 troops. Yes, it is a sizable number, and if you want to put that into perspective for people who might not understand, what does 25,000 mean? If you take a look at Afghanistan, Syria, and Iraq together, combined, that is the total number of National Guard troops that were present physically on the ground in Washington, D.C. to protect the Capitol, because National Guard has got two main objectives, and one of those objectives is to protect and defend the community, and they were there to protect and defend Washington, D.C. I think the number was appropriate. What I can say is that earlier, about some people in the National Guard, you know, some of the troops in the National Guard were removed because they had gone through some intelligence screenings and background checks and so on, and they were felt that maybe they might have some radical thinking or something in their background, so they were taken out of being present. So each one of those troops in the National Guard went through screening. So we are fairly certain that the ones that were remaining were good to go. Mm-hmm. So I think it was a fair measure given the circumstances.
Thank you, Tonga.
Mm-hmm. There's another guest, Gibbs, Mr. Tim Muringai, who happens to be the Vice Secretary of Information, MDC North, MDC Alliance North America. Welcome to our show, Mr. Muringai.
Thank you.
Yes, we also have Mr. Pearl Matibe, who is a political analyst on the phone. But let me direct this question to Mr. Muringai. Mr. Muringai, when you joined the show, we're talking about former President Donald Trump leaving office, and he hinted that there will be a comeback. What does that mean to Americans?
Well, you know, in politics, you're dead for a few minutes and you can resurrect yourself more than Jesus did after 3 days. So he had 75 million voters that believe in what he was preaching about. So all we have to do right now is concentrate and see what the new Biden administration will do. And then we'll observe what Mr. Trump is talking about, because he might come back as a third party, or maybe the rumors that he's trying to open up his own news station, stuff like that. So we'll just wait and observe and see what happens.
Yes. Maybe before I bring in Gibbs, I have a question for Ms. Matibe. Ms. Matibe, now that we had former President Trump hinting that there's a comeback, he hinted about a comeback. We saw him being impeached for the second time, and I think the impeachment is still going to continue even after he has left office. What will happen to this comeback?
Yes, that's an excellent question. Regarding what he is saying about coming back, I think Mr. Muringai is quite correct. We have to remember that former President Trump did receive a historic number of votes from the American people. That is a clear fact. Whether you support him or whether you don't support him, he made history. He also has significant support and significant power and influence within his own political party, that is the Republican Party. Thirdly, just before he left, in fact, yesterday, and in the last few days, you know that he was making some presidential pardons, which was part of his power before leaving office. What he also did was within the Department of Defense, which is what controls the military, and the intelligence service, which is the National Security Agency, the NSA. What he did just before leaving office is he put his own two people loyal to him to become the head of those two agencies, defense and intelligence. So in the Department of Defense, he put Christopher Miller, who is now the acting director, the acting director in the at Department of Defense, right? Because he replaced, he fired Mike Esper, already left, right? The other person at the National Security Agency, which is the United States Chief Intelligence Service besides the CIA, and that is Michael Ellis. These two people are what we can call Republican operatives because they are 100% loyal to President Trump. So we might want to start thinking, what was he thinking about putting these two strategic people in those places? What we do know is that the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, wrote a letter to the intelligence service, NSA, asking them to start investigating because she wants to stop and have these appointments that Trump made investigated. And so we are probably going to see that coming through when the impeachment begins to be discussed and so on. So one other thing I just want to highlight, which I don't know whether it's evident to your audiences when they're watching mainstream media, CNN, BBC, and so on, and that is within the Republican Party itself, there is a lot of tension, a lot of things shifting inside the internal workings of the Republican political party. There's a lot of distrust amongst the various congressmen and the various, within their own party. But what we cannot forget is that when they were making the decision to impeach him in the House, only 10 decided that he should be impeached, which meant 70% of all Republicans in Congress did not want to see Trump impeached. What does that mean? It means that now that Biden is now president, he will have to then see, does he want the key items, which tonight, when Biden gets to the White House, this ask, because right now he's going to go to the Arlington Cemetery, lay the wreath, but later on this evening he's going to go back to the White House and sign some key issues that he wants quickly moved in Congress. And so does he want his agenda moved quickly? And also don't forget that before today, we had Mitch McConnell as the person who was the most powerful person in the Senate. His job is now over as of 1 hour ago. So now who is going to decide how the impeachment is going to move? That is going to be Chuck Schumer. He is going to be the most senior person. And two things are going to happen with this impeachment in the Senate. One of two things. They will either decide to acquit or convict. But then we will see how President Biden may weigh in. Because in his speech was talking about unity and so on and so on. So let's just see how President Biden, because now he is the leader of the Democratic Party, but he has said in his speech today that he does want to see the country unite. So I think we just need to wait and see, because remember also Nancy Pelosi has not yet actually transmitted the article of impeachment to the Senate. Hmm. Until and unless Nancy Pelosi has actually transmitted that article of impeachment to the Senate, then it begins the clock for the impeachment process in the Senate. So that might happen. It can happen effective any time from now. So we just need to wait and see. But what I can tell you is that the first order of business today, we're going to see this today happening later on this afternoon and this evening. President Biden is going to sign various executive orders to start, moving in on immigration and a number of very, very significant things which we're going to see unfolding later on today.
Thank you so much, Ms. Natiwe. Please do stay on the line. Gibbs.
Inauguration. So I'll read some of the inauguration facts and figures, with the inauguration of Joe Biden, the oath has been taken 73 times by 46 presidents. So, look, we took the oath 73 times, now, Mongameli, about 46. But we were again in 2009, Choka Kanyangani, we were about 1.8 million, Ababe Konapo, Utocha, Uparoko Pama, Sawasu, Wabwe, Ulavatu, Abanengi, Ugunyong Magalisari. Ask Angela Putis, Kubera Pambili, President George H.W. Bush wakubona umntana ke uPresident George W. Bush ngo-2001 egcotshwa uba umongameli. So in English, President George H. W. Bush witnessed the swearing in of his son, President George W. Bush, making it the first time a former president was present at the inauguration of his son. This is very interesting indeed. Mm-hmm. And in 1945, Franklin D. Roosevelt is the only president to be inaugurated four times. The ceremony was held at the South Patio of the White House. No parades or fun activities were held thanks to the World War II austerity measures. He died 82 days after his final inauguration. Very, very interesting, Jovere.
Ndizvo zvo Gibbs, hamwadio vateereri nevatariri. Gibbs ari kutsanangura nhoroondo yemagadzirwo anoitwa ushe hweutungamiri muAmerica. Ataurai kuti mhiko yatoreswa mutungamiri wenyika mutsva vaJoe Biden nhasi ndechimakumi manomwe nenhatu kana kuti 73 iyoyo, ivo vachive mutungamiri wechimakumi mana nenhanhatu kana kuti 46th president. Ataurwa Gibbs kuti pakagadzwa mutungamiri vakambenge vari mutungamiri wenyika vaBarack Obama, pakanga paine vanhu vaisvika 1.8 million vakauya kunoona vaObama vachigadzwa. Chaka vachiitiko chakashamisa vanhu vakawanda nekushanduka kwakaita utungamiri, nekuti vaObama tisakanganwa kuti munhu wechitema wekutanga kutungamira muAmerica. Gibbs ataurawo nyaya yekuti baba vava George W. Bush vaGeorge H. Bush vakanga varipo vachiona kugadzwa kwemwana wavo George W. Bush semutungamiri wenyika. Chakavo chiitiko chekutanga kuti baba vange vachiona mwana wavo achigadzwa utungamiri wenyika muAmerica. Tisakanganwa kuti nhasi pagadzwa vaJoe Biden panga paine vatungamiri venyika vakambotungamira America vatatu, vaBill Clinton, vaGeorge W. Bush pamwe navaBarack Obama ndo vamwe vatungamiri wauya. Asi vaTrump vanga vachisiya chigaro vachaa kwete, chiregai ndimhanye kuFlorida kwavaenda kumusha wavo. Tombonzwa kuna vamuringai nerurimi rweshona. Vamuringai, tanzwa Biden pavatora mhiko vachitaura kuti democracy has prevailed, utongo wejekerere watonga. Mashoko iwaya tichiona mamiriro akaita zvino muAmerica, vazhinji vari kuti America haina kubatana pane inonguva. Munoona here vachikwanisa kunge vachizobatanidza vana vemuAmerica? Yatiri kunzwanya vakawanda muchirungu kuti it's a deeply divided nation.
Maita basa. Munoziva nyaya dzepolitics idzi dzinonetsa pasi rese, nokuti hapana anoda kudyiwa kunyaya dzepolitics idzi. Tinoona kuti kana vanhu vachitaura kuti hanzi nyika iri divided, nyika yakagara iri divided. Changa chichingobatsira ndechekuti panouya vatungamiri vanoita ivo kutonhodza mweya wemhirizhonga kuti nyika iende pamberi. Tikuona izvo kuti apa panga tasvika panhano yekuti tanga zvanga sa zvamboitika kuti vanhu verudzi rumwe vechirungu vakaenda kunoita mhirizhonga kuCapitol last week, zvanga sa zvamboitika muupenyu hwenyika ino kana kubva kuumbwa kwakaitwa America. Saka tinoziva kuti every election after 2016 maDemocrats akachema-chema akati angabirirwa mama40. Takaona futi 2000 President Bush pavakapinda zvakanzi Al Gore angabirirwa, zvikanzi nyika iri divided. Tinoziva kuti iko muno muAmerica kana maelections apera kunoita mweya wokusada kuwirirana. But tinokurudzirwa muno muAmerica sezvo kutaurwa kwaitwa navaBiden ndechekuti vanhu vemuno vakabatana, vanoda kuona kubudirira kwenyika yavo nerugare. Saka ndinoona inini after tingangozvipa kana mamonths ari kutevera aya kana mwedzi uri kutevera kuti mapolicies nekuenda kumberi kwenyika nezvichange zvichiunzwa muSenate sekutaurwa kwaitwa namai Matile kuchange kuti nyaradza vanga vachishora mukuru wenyika here kana kuti vanenge pamhosva kuti ndivo vari kukanganisa zvinhu. Kuvengana kwemarudzi kwakabvira before even kutanga kweino nyika. Saka ndinoona kuti kubatana kwatichaita kuri along economic things, nokuti vanhu vese vada kugara zvakanaka, vanhu vese vada kukwanisa kunge vane pensheni dzinochengeta vana vavo nezvakadero. Saka kubatana kuchavepo zvako, ezvinezvi tichamboti ngavambodzika midzi tione kuti mukuru wedu President Biden vachafamba negwaro ripi.
Thank you so much. Maita basa vamuringani. Regai ndibate, tine mumwe mudare wedu vavhusani Ntini vari parunhare. VaNtini, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Jongwa. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And today is a historic day for America and the world at large. What can you tell people out there?
I think this is, you know, today is a very unique day. There are many milestones that we hit today. We have a new, you know, the first VP who happens to be multiracial. I personally believe that she's black, but I think there's, you know, claim by the Asian heritage people that she's, you know, biracial. But just having a VP, a woman who happens to be black, to me, that's historic. So, you know, when we look at how long the election season has lasted and all the ups and downs, and here we are today, you know, January 20, 2021, the day that we've been waiting for me, it is very historic, and I'm glad that I was part of it. Thanks largely to our VOA for pulling us in, to listen in and contribute. And as Biden indicated, you know, we need unity. We need to really have that spirit of Ubuntu. I think at the end of the day, America now, you know, finally recovered from the past 4 years of turmoil. Hopefully, going forward, people will unite and people actually reach across the aisle and work together for the good of the nation and also for the good of many other nations that rely on America.
Mm. Thank you so much, Mr. Ntini. I think Gibbs has a question or two. Gibbs.
Yes, let's note that, you know, when you talk about Vice President Kamala Harris, she's the first African-American woman and first South Asian American woman to attain the second most powerful job in the United States. And let's remember that in California, she was a prosecutor, attorney general, and then she became a U.S. senator. And let's remember, too, that she came top of the pack in terms of the Democratic debate in June 2019, in which she confronted Joseph Biden about race relations. I think that stunned Biden to a certain extent. So now, Skuluma gang is into a Babantini, Kodapa is in the valley. Kubona Zanike, Konoku Uti, Umama Uharis, Lysengenile, Njongom Segeli, Amogameli, Kuchon Ebantini, Abansundu, Kuchon Elizabeth, Lemeliga, Jalukuchoni, Mkabenonke Chigel.
Yeah, Nyabo, how about do they? I think Ungena Uga Harris Ubamu VP, Gajan, Sera Uti, a girl child can be whatever abafisa ikukhona. A girl child can dream. We realize that, you know, we've had a president that happened to be black. I mean, he was also multiracial, white and black. You know, the father being from Kenya, I'm talking about Obama. And now we are bringing another layer where we are having the first woman who is a VP. This woman happens to have a father who is Jamaican and a man who is Indian. So it is historic, you know, by all measures. I think it shows that America is actually trying, you know, change direction. I mean, people may say, you know, the VP ticket was carried by Biden, but I'm sure it did energize a lot of black people. She energized a lot of, you know, Asian voters. And a lot of women and young people, they joined this ticket because, one, like you indicated, she came real close during the Democratic primaries. She was a force, you know, to reckon with. So I think Biden really, out of all the other candidates that tried to run for the president, he picked the right person. And, you know, in Ndebele, we say, umuntu chaye inyoni ezimbili ngelitsheli lodwa. I think, you know, that one stone that was thrown, it happened to hit more than one bird. We have a woman who is a VP. We have a woman who happens to be a multiracial. So, you know, the dream for all the young girls and all the women, you know, I think it's wide open. I think she would do a wonderful job. When it comes to other nations, hopefully we can learn a more tool from that. You know, that democracy at the end of the day wins, and the best candidate and, you know, people's voices are heard.
Yeah, just about 1 minute.
Yes. As we went to Vale Meligalapa, Amandebele Ati, Umuntu Chaya, Inyoni, as we've been in Licheli Lord, as we went to Vale Meligalapa, Wotu Biden, a Kete, Kamala Harris, the EVP, Umtu and our Inkazan, and Namplanjo Mane, and our Lako, Wuti. Ale lugu si suguti la ebe mu vice president yelinlang. Abantu abangomama, abantu abamnyama, bonke kadesu bengaba lakho ukuthi bephuphe ukuthi kukhona ongenzakala kakhulu ukuthi umuntu omnyama umama esihlalo esithathe kangathi uma kanjani isibhodile sitholele enye ikhona. Ikhona elikhangela abantu abangomama elibahloniphayo. Mina umbono wami futhi uba yi-VP kwakhe akusoze kuphelele khonapha. Mina ngibona ngani uKamala Harris vele is a president of the United States kuzawenza ukuthi kube lo mongameli omuntu omama umuntu omnyama uHarris Mbolani nguye ozakwenza lokho.
Siyabonga kakhulu ke Jonga.
Thank you so much, Mr. NT. Gibbs, let me throw my last question to Ms. Matibe. Ms. Matibe, we had Mr. Musantini foreseeing Ms. Kamala Harris as the next president. What's your take there?
Yes, thank you. So let me just quickly mention a couple of things to add to what the previous speakers have said. Gibbs was actually quite right in terms of the FDR. Now we have 75 days between an election and a transition. It wasn't always like that. Inaugurations used to happen on March 4, and only in 1937, which was FDR's second inauguration, we then moved in 1933, the inauguration started being held on the 20th. That's why now we have them on the 20th. But it wasn't always that way. On the issue of Kamala Harris, just in terms of her history, Kamala Harris is, first of all, female, yes, of course, black, yes, of course, but she is South Asian because, quite rightly, as the other speaker said, her mother was Indian. Her mother passed away. Her mother came to the United States and actually had a PhD and worked as a researcher, a cancer researcher, I believe. And so she was an academic, her mother, and unfortunately passed away. I was not able to be here to see her being inaugurated. In terms of why was Kamala Harris sworn in before Joe Biden? This is important because the Constitution of the United States actually stipulates that she is the one who has to be sworn in first. And there's a reason for that, because the president is normally sworn in at precisely around 12 noon. So she was sworn in a lot earlier, just in case if there's a calamity or something suddenly happens, then the law provides that then she can assume the presidency before Biden himself is actually sworn in. And so I just wanted to explain that there is a procedure and a reason why she is the one who is sworn in first. Another thing in terms of her history. Yes, Gibbs, and I think perhaps somebody else mentioned that during the election campaign, she had had a racial topic, raised with Joe Biden at one of the debates. But what people might not know is that Joe Biden's son, Beau, who passed away, in fact, Joe Biden has had three deaths in his family, his first wife, his daughter, and his son, Beau. And so he's someone who has experienced death, and so that's why he understands when there's 400,000 Americans who have died so far. But Kamala Harris had a very close relationship with Joe Biden's son, Beau. And so even though maybe initially she may not have been close to Joe Biden himself, she did have a very close relationship with his son. And so I just wanted to add that in terms of a little bit about the history.
Thank you so much.
Can I just add, in terms of the election, what carried the election and why perhaps Joe Biden actually won this election was largely and significantly because of black women voting. That was significant reason why Joe Biden eventually won the majority of the votes.
Thank you so much, Ms. Matibe. Thank you.
I think Matibe was actually monitoring this event, like Ntini and the other gentlemen.
Yes.
So now, tell us from now onwards what is going to happen, because as far as we understand, the nuclear footballs with Mr. Trump have been deactivated. You know, those the big kits that are being carried by security personnel all the time. So they've been deactivated, we are told. And so what happens to Biden from where he is right now? What is going to happen together with the vice president?
Well, when you saw them leaving the inauguration, for about 30 minutes, the Vice President, Kamala Harris, was supposed to go and have lunch with Nancy Pelosi and some of the leaders in Congress for a little bit, about 30 minutes, and then they're going to proceed to the Arlington National Cemetery. The purpose of that is because Biden has to go and lay the wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. Usually in the evening for the presidential, a lot of balls and parties and so on. But because of COVID, that's not going to happen. So what you're going to see before the end of the day, like I said to you, is that Biden is going to sign some very, very important executive orders. Because one of the things that Biden wants to see is he wants to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. He wants to immediately repeal this issue on the immigration. And I can say, for instance, for Zimbabweans, that might be a good thing because we might see asylum seeker threshold being increased. Because remember, with Donald Trump, he has kind of capped that. And people who might want to then eventually come and work in the United States, we might see those kinds of issues improve. Mm-hmm. But around 3 o'clock or later on this afternoon, we're going to see Biden receiving his presidential escort, which will take him from 15th Street in Washington back up to the White House. Because yesterday, last night, he did sleep in Washington, but he slept at Blair House. That is the normal procedure where, as he is waiting to become president, he normally goes and sleeps at Blair House. And Blair House, we know, is right across the street from the White House.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Ms. Matibe. I think I have a last question for Mr. Tim Muringai. Mr. Muringai? Hello?
Hello, yes.
Yes, Mr. Muringai, your last word, what do you expect the relations between Zimbabwe and America in the future? Because the Zimbabwe government has been mourning all along over sanctions.
Okay, thank you very much for that question. I think the relations depend on whether the government back home in Zimbabwe adheres to the stipulations of the sanctions. I don't think anything will change. Coming into mind is Joe Biden was a co-sponsor of Videra, so he knows exactly how Zimbabwe is. And then when we go back into history, we know he was there for the Lancaster House talk on the American side. So we will see what happens. I mean, as long as Zimbabwean government in place right now adheres to what the sanctions were for and what they were designed to do and, change, if there's no change on our Zimbabwean side, I don't think there'll be a change on the American side.
Thank you so much. Nerurimi rwaamai. Zvii zvamungafunga kana kuti zvamungataura pamusoro peukama hungange hwavepo pakati pehurumende itsva yeAmerica neZimbabwe. Tinoona kuti Zimbabwe yagara inge ichichema kuti ukama hauna kunaka nenyaya yezvirango.
Ndinoona inini kuti zvamirira kuti government yekwedu yekuZimbabwe ionewo kuti ichinje maitiro. Nokuti tikaona kuti masanctions aya akaiswa and akabatsira kuti ave co-sponsor masanctions ndiye ava mutungamiri wenyika yeUnited States vaJoe Biden pavanga vari senator. Tinoona kuti tikadzokera futi kumashure tinoona vaBiden kuti vanga varipo panyaya dzematalks eLancaster. Saka Zimbabwe vanenge vanoiziva zvavo zvakati nyanyei. Tikaona futi ma-designated representatives aUN apiwa navaBiden Ms. Green vanga vanoziva nyaya dzekuZimbabwe zvakare naTony Blinken uyo ari kuuya. Saka inini ndinoona kunge Zimbabwe inofanha kunge ichiona kuti ingashande sei neAmerica kuti zvinhu zvivanakire.
Thank you so much, Mr. Muringai. Maita basa. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Okay. Gibbs.
Can I chip in there?
Yes.
So, Choga, we've got some videos that were sent by some people from different parts of the world. So, let's hear one of the people. I think we'll start with Mr. Innocent Ndivali of the Economic Freedom Fighters, Zimbabwe.
Siva yenzela amhlophe atenke njalo siva fisela ukuthi besebenzisana lamanye amazwe ngokuhlonipha amanye amazwe bengayenzi lokho kade kwenziwa ngubaba uTrump owenketa abachavi okudelela amanye amazwe ikakhulu amazwe aseAfrika. Njalo sicela thina ukuthi ubaba uBiden lo mama uHarris bethi nxa beqhubekela besiya phambili bekhiphe izijeziso lezo ezafakwa elizweni lethu iZimbabwe, ngoba abantu bethu bangabantu abazisebenzelayo njalo abakhaliphileyo. Lezi zijeziso ezafakwayo eZimbabwe zilimaza abantu kazana, njalo siyacela ukuthi izijeziso lezi mazikhitshwe. Njalo siyacela ukuthi nxa besebenzelana lamanye amaqembu, lamanye ama-leaders, ama-political parties, bebakhuthaze ukuthi belandele izinqumo zamaphathi azo, belandele umthetho welizwe esiyubiza ngokuthi i-constitution. So kufuze ukuthi bekhuthaze kakhulu ukuthi kube le-culture ye-constitutionalism kuma-political parties, ku-government, lakho kuyo yonke indawo, even kuma-civic organization. Njalo sicela ukuthi besebenze ngokuhlonipha amanye amazwe, behloniphe lenkokheli zethu, behloniphe le-Africa njenge-continent. Thina abe-economic freedom sithi economic freedom yiyo engakhulula abantu jikelele.
Yes, so that was Mr. Innocent Ndivali of the Economic Freedom Fighters. We also have Priscilla Ndlovu, who is based in Washington State. Let's hear what she's saying about what's going on today.
Ngiyesaba nje khona ukuthi nize ngicabange ngeZimbabwe ngoba ku-administration yakhe akula ma-Africans. Kulo ma-African oyi-1 ole-relationship lo-Obama. I think ngibona ngathi uvele Nigeria. I-Africa yonke lamazwayo kazange adobhe ngisho lo muntu oyedwa amfake ku-cabinet kumbe just ku-assistant position. Ungakhangela ukuthi abantu abakhethileyo ku-cabinet yakhe ufake ama-African Americans. But ulama-Indians amaningi ukwedlula ama-African Americans in the positions asezithethe. There is about 20 people from India. ngabona abathathu abavele Pakistan kulomunye ovele elokhuzeni eBangladesh. So that is not even a continent, it's a region. Nxa iregion yonke igovernment kaBiden izaranwa ngabantu from abavela kwena le region, thina uzasicabanga njani when we are not even represented ukuthi kube lo muntu osikhulumelayo ukuthi hayi iAfrika yona ke manje nxa sesizacabanga ilizwe leZimbabwe angazi ukuthi kungaba njani. Mina ngidanile kakhulu ngoba ngadana ngesikhathi sikaObama ukuthi sasingekho etafuleni to represent ourselves. Yikho lapho okwafa khona ama programs amaningi awe international development afa ngesikhathi sikaObama akazange aphinde avuke. Bengicabanga ukuthi kathesi sizabona okungcono. Kodwa kangiboni ukuthi okungcono sizakubona ngapi singekho etafuleni ukuthi sizikhulumele kube lo muntu othi mina eAfrika ngibona ngani ilokho okufunekayo ukuthi kungenzakala. So ukuthi sicabange ngeZimbabwe singakhangelanga nje iAfrika yona ngokwayo, ngimelele ukuthi ngize ngibone ukuthi uzafaka yini u-representative we-Afrika yenxa ukuthi ngibone ku-government yakhe kulo representative we-South India. No, we-South Asia. So nxa kulo muntu we-South Asia kungela muntu we-Afrika, because South Asia i-region nje kuphela kakulalutho. Sizabona ukuthi kuzasifikisa ngaphi lokhu, but mina ngokwami ngidanile ukuthi i-government ka-Biden yehluleyile nje lokufaka umuntu yedwa vele e-Afrika ukuthi asikhulumele.
Yes, so that is the Priscilla Dlovu, she is in Washington State. She was complaining bitterly about the absence of many Africans in Mr. Biden's cabinet, proposed cabinet. And then the EFF individual, that is Mr. Innocent Diwale, was saying America should drop sanctions. And so he's thinking that Mr. Biden will take action on that. Chonga?
Thank you so much, Gibbs. We now have Dr. Urai Zembe, who is the president of the Democratic Party in Zimbabwe. Dr. Zembe, welcome to our show.
Welcome to the panel. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you so much. Maybe you can start by telling us your views on what transpired in America today, your take on the coming in of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris.
It's great that the Americans have been able to inaugurate the newly people-driven elected president and his administration. It's a demonstration that the American system has been created, the democratic system has been created over 240 years now, and that they have a strong constitution, which has created strong institutions that talk about elections and how elections are conducted, the people's political power in electing a government. And that was done. And although Mr. Trump tried to act his way, because he was the incumbent president, he used that power not according to the American constitutional values. Because when you are in office, you don't incite pandemonium, you don't incite ordinary citizens to go into the citadel of a democratic system and then act unprofessionally, to disturb the whole system. So I want to remark that in America there's no one individual who can manipulate a democratic process that they created over 240 years. And never mind the fact that the incumbent president had the power to act as he thought, but not to instigate some insurrection when you are in office, in a manner as if you want to violate openly the constitutional rules and systems that were
established over a number of years. Thank you so much, Dr. Zembe. Mbaya, nyimuri parunare, tinokudzoka kwamuri zvino izvi.
Yes, neizvi tombotarisa zvaitika kuZimbabwe kwatarasikirwa negurukota tinona nezvekudyidzana nedzimwe nyika vasibusiso moyo vakawanda vanhu vaziva vamoyo semunhu akazivisa nezvekubviswa pachigaro kwakaitwa vaive mutungamiri wenyika nguva iyoyo vaRobert Mugabe vamoyo sekunzwa kwataita kubva kuhurumende vashaya nechirwere chine chekuita neCOVID-19 tazva kuti vashayira kune chimwe chipatara muHarare. I think we all heard of the passing on of Minister of Foreign Affairs Dr. Sibusiso Moyo. A statement released by the government says the minister succumbed to COVID-19 at a local hospital. We all remember Dr. Moyo as the voice that introduced the removal from power of former President Robert Mugabe. We now have his audio when he announced the removal of President Mugabe.
Comrade R.G. Mugabe and his family are safe and sound, and their security is guaranteed. We are only targeting criminals around him who are committing crimes that are causing social and economic suffering in the country in order to bring them to justice.
That was Minister Sibusiso Moyo, Foreign Affairs Minister, and he was in the forefront of the re-engagement talks between the West and the government of Zimbabwe. And the American government, remember, there are sanctions there, and he was leading the delegation that was in the re-engagement team. Gibbs?
Joker, we see that there are roughly about 52 deaths in the past 24 hours in Zimbabwe and 783 new COVID cases. You know, it seems as if there is a serious upsurge in COVID cases. So, Nesantini, what's your take on the, you know, death of Sibusiso Moyo, who was the Minister of Foreign Affairs?
I guess first I would like to say condolences to the family of S.B. Moyo, Honorable S.B. Moyo. You know, this does indicate that, you know, COVID-19 does not see color, race, it does not see age or even class. It's said that our hospitals are in such a state that people are dying from a disease that, you know, most people should be recovering from. It is a sad day, especially the fact that he was the face of Zimbabwe on the foreign side of things. Now, most probably, we have to reset the button. But I think when you look at that whole administration, I think he was one of the few people within ZANU-PF or within the administration that was respected around the globe by many. You know, many Western countries, I think, had a good relationship with him. So it's going to be it's going to be interesting to see where Zimbabwe goes next in terms of like their foreign policy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do realize that, you know, many Western countries and many other countries gave Zimbabwe a lot of goodwill after the coup of 2017. The Zimbabwean people gave the NPF a lot of goodwill, but unfortunately all that goodwill was squandered.
Thank you.
So now the question is, like, where do we go from here?
Yes, thank you. Our time is running out. I wanted to give Dr. Zembe his last word on the passing on of Dr. Moyo. Dr. Zembe.
My condolences. It's very sad that a gifted young leader, you know, has gone. He actually led anyone who announces, some say a coup, but the departure of Mugabe at the time was really the substantive leader of the process. But that process resonated with the wishes of the Zimbabweans. Because for 37 years, the Zimbabweans were battling to remove the late leader. And for the first time ever, the military acted in resonance with what the Zimbabweans were fighting for. So that's great. We have lost a potential leader who could have changed from within. He had bright ideas, but
Thank you so much, Dr. Zembe. Thank you so much. As you know, that there's no extra time in this match.
We have come to the end of our show, and I would like to thank our guest tonight, Ms. Pearl Matibe, a political analyst based here in Washington, D.C., Mr. Tim Muringai, MDC Alliance Vice Information Secretary, and Mr. Vincent Busanintini, Amjonga Kandemi.